And one day she won't have to have a step stool, all right? And so take the word of God tonight and we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin in just a moment in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1. I wanted to continue what I began preaching on this morning about we all have a day of judgment coming. And I talked this morning about the great white throne judgment, about the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of sin, which was taken care of at Calvary, but also a judgment of self that we must do. Tonight, as God's people, and I believe in the fellowship here tonight, it is mostly Christians here, I want to speak to you specifically on the judgment seat of Christ. And tonight, I want to preach on this subject, standing at the judgment seat. What will it be like standing at the judgment seat of Christ? And you know, it is good for us to be reminded that there is coming a day that we will stand before the Lord. You know, I just say this to you. As a pastor, do you know that God has given me the oversight of this church? And what that means is I will stand before God and give an account of what takes place at Grace Baptist Church while I'm the pastor. I'll give an account. That's why that every message I preach is serious to me. That's why every song that we sing, all that we do, God will give an account. Why? Because this is not my church. This is His church. Amen. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. He didn't say, I will build your church. He said, I'll build my church. And I want to be a faithful pastor because I'll stand before God with the God-given privilege that He's given me. But all of you will stand before God one day. Now, you may not have been a pastor, but you will still stand before God. And I believe there are three areas when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ that God will judge us accordingly. Now, let's begin in our text tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's begin, if you would, please, in verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Notice those things, envying, strife, and divisions, carnal. We read on in verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Would you underline that phrase? Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation? The foundation of Jesus Christ. What does it say? Now if any man build, verse 12, upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, there is so much in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that helps us, because that day is coming. The day when we stand before Jesus Christ, the day before every child of God stands before Christ and gives an account. And the Bible says, I love this phrase here where it says back in this verse, that in verse number 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Think of this. It's very personal. This is not where you like other Christians. Oh, that's not it. Jesus is not going to say, did you do what other Christians did? Or did you, were you involved like other Christians were involved? It is every man, his own labor, his own reward. And tonight, standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want you to notice some things that are very, very important for us to understand. Some Christians think, well, I'm saved. Judgment is past. And I'm just waiting to get to heaven and I'll just be all happy. Well, yes, your judgment of sin has been passed, but there is still coming a day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. May I say to you that what deals with what we are doing is how we are building. Do you know that every one of us, we are building every day? You're building something. Now, the problem is, what kind of building materials are you using? Now, notice what the Bible shows us here. It's very important to understand. The Bible goes on and look in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, there are six different types of building foundations or building things. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's one quality or classification. But then there is wood, hay, and stubble. Now, when I think about wood and hay and stubble, I think about the three little pigs just a little bit, you know, because they didn't build their house or in the right way. But can I tell you something? There is a great difference between wood, hay, and stubble and gold, silver, and precious stones. Every one of us tonight, our work is going to be tried by fire. Now, let me say this. If you have built with wood, hay, and stubble, I'm going to tell you something. As soon as it is exposed to the fire of God, it will be consumed. There'll be nothing left. Just think here on earth. What if you had a fire going and you took some wood, you took some hay, you took some stubble, and you threw it in there? Hey, soon it's going to be disintegrated. I mean, it's going to be gone. But some are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And tried by fire, guess what? It survives the fire. Now, here's something to understand. The wood, hay, and stubble, can I tell you what these things are? These things are temporary things. And by the way, these are things you don't have to really work for. Did you know something, that I could go out and find wood right after the service? I don't have to go dig for it. I can find wood. I can find some hay. I can find some stubble. It is natural things there. But let me tell you something. Gold, silver, and precious stones, you've got to dig for those things. You've got to work for those things. Those things have to be sought after. Those things have to be intently. They are of great value. Brethren, all of us here tonight, you are either building on the foundation of Jesus Christ with wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Remember, it is going to be made manifest one day, because the Bible says, look in verse number 13, and I love this verse. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Oh, think of that day, the declaration day, when God declares what really you have spent your life. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I love preaching chapel to the kids in our Christian school here, and I enjoy being with them. I have a lot of fun. And now that I'm the principal, I stand in the hallways when the kids come in. And one day we had a little football going on in the hallway. It was all good, you know. And the teachers just kind of shake their heads and go back to their class, you know. But I remember one day in chapel, I talked about, I had a can. And I had put a different label on the can. Now, the can was really dog food is what it was, but I had put a different label on the can. And I was using an illustration that, you know, sometimes what things appear to be good are not necessarily good. And the can said something else. I mean, it had a different label on it. But when I revealed what it really was, nobody wanted to eat that. Let me say this to you. One day, God, in a sense, is going to pull the curtain back on my life and your life. He's going to pull the curtain. He's going to reveal. He's going to manifest your life and my life. Did we live it for selfish gain, wood, hay, and stubble? It's going to be burned up. Did we live it for the applause of men? It's just going to be burned up. Did we live it to be seen of men? It's just going to be burned up. Did we live it for our own desires and affections and pleasures? It will be burned up. But over here, if it was gold, silver, and precious stones, if it was investing in the Lord's work, if it was witnessing and praying, and if it was serving God out of a willing heart, it will be manifest. And let me just say this to you. I believe this with all my heart. In heaven, we're going to have some surprises. And what I mean by that is this. There are going to be some people that were in the limelight here on earth, and they're going to be way back in the line in heaven. And there's going to be some people that we never knew about. They were in a small, remote place, maybe on some mission field. They were unsung heroes, and no one wept over them. No one ever talked about them. But before God, their work was gold, silver, and precious stones. Here's the great thing about it. Every one of us here, you get to choose your building materials. You can choose wood, hay, and stubble. But you can also choose gold, silver, and precious stones. So tonight, I'm going to give you some simple thoughts that I pray that God would help us. By the way, God is the ultimate building inspector. He is the one who is going to put my life and your life to a test one day. You know, in our Christian school and all schools, guess what they have in schools that no kid likes? It's called test. You know what the test does? The test says, I am going to put it to the test, in a sense, to find out what you really know. Oh, you can say all you want to, but let's put it to the test. Here's the test. Take the test, and let's find out what you really know. Well, God is going to put us to a test one day. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's a fire test. It's a torch test, if you want to say it. And God is going to pull down all the facade. He's going to pull down all of the pretense. And on that day, we will know, you will know, what was gold, silver, or precious stone, or wood, hay, stubble. I believe there are three things that we can look tonight that God is going to reveal. How will God judge our work? Number one tonight, I believe He will judge our work based on attitude. Now take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You're there in chapter 3, so just turn over a little bit to chapter number 9. Brethren, I want us to understand something tonight. We may think that, oh, the judgment day is a long ways off. But brethren, I want you to know it may just be a heartbeat away. In fact, we are all much closer to eternity than what we really understand. I remember when my wife and I came home from the hospital with our little baby, little Abby. Hard to believe that was almost 18 years ago that happened. She'll turn 18 in August. And you know, people told us while we were just new parents, oh, you better hang on to these years because before you know it, it'll be over. Before you know it, she'll be graduating from high school. And I knew what they said was true, but the truth of the matter is, it has gone that fast. Brethren, we sometimes think that eternity is so far off, but brethren, it could be tomorrow. It could be before the end of this service. Do you understand the importance, the severity of us getting a hold of this and saying, this is not something for me later on in life. This is now. This is now. God's going to judge my work. He's going to judge what I have done. And some Christians are going to stand there, yet saved as by fire, it's going to be burnt up. How sad that would be. How horrible that would be. The Bible says he will suffer loss on that day. But there will be Christians who built with gold, silver, and precious stone. And why? Why? Because they understood what it really meant to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to judge our work first by our attitude. Now, this is the attitude of our heart. You see, I can't see your attitude, and you can't see my attitude, really. Oh, listen, attitudes do show eventually, but only God can see my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look, if you would please, in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16. The Bible says, Paul is speaking, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." Paul said, I can't not preach the word of God. I must preach it. "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly," look at the next four words, "I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Now I want you to listen to me very closely. Paul said, if I do this willingly, if my attitude is an attitude of submission to God, if my attitude is, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, you don't have to make me serve you. God, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Paul said, I have a reward. I believe that God is going to judge our works by the attitude of our heart. For instance, I remember so often my mom or dad would ask me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. I remember one time, and of course, I had to mow my yard. It was at least 10 acres, at least. By hand, I had to mow it. When I remember years after I'd left the house and gotten married and moved off to serve the Lord, I came back and looked at that yard. I said, boy, that yard's kind of small, you know. But it wasn't small when I was a kid, you know. It was acres and acres of yard to mow, you know. And but I remember one time they wanted me to mow the grass, and I didn't want to mow the grass. Man, I had things to do, places to go, you know, cats to see, all that stuff, all right? And I was busy. And I remember out there mowing the grass. I was as mad as could be, you know. I hated every blade of grass I had to cut, you know. And you know, I'll tell you something. My mom and dad, did I obey? Not really. Because real obedience is obedience with a heart of love and a heart of submission. Can I say this to you tonight? We are not going to be rewarded by things that we did grudgingly to the Lord. Things that we did where we didn't want to really serve God. We didn't want to obey God. Now, I know there's times in life where we must do it even when we don't feel like doing it. But Paul is saying here, he said, if I am willing and willing to obey the Lord, if my attitude of my heart is in submission to Jesus Christ, then and only then will I have a reward. Brethren, God will judge us at the judgment seat of Christ, not only for what we did, but if we did it willingly, gladly, from a free heart, an obedient heart to God. Look here, if you do it just to be seen of men, the Bible says you have your reward. Guess what that reward is? Wood, hay, and stubble. You have your reward. You will not get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. But if we did what we did out of joy, out of love for our Savior, out of wanting to serve Him and please Him, and we did it not expecting to have anything in return, then that attitude of the heart will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, brethren, every one of us should be doing what we can for the Lord with a heart of joyful attitude. In fact, Mark 14:8 talks about Mary of Bethany. The Bible says she hath done what she could. She had done what she could. She did what she could. Look here, sometimes we get the ideal that God, boy, He's looking for the great works. No, can I tell you something? The Lord talks often about the cup of water that is given in His name. A cup of water. What about when the Lord Jesus talked about how that they went and visited them in prison and saw them in their sickness and all of that? We think sometimes it is some great work. But brethren, the card written out of a willing heart will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. That tract given out of a loving, willing heart to a lost neighbor or a lost coworker will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. But things that we did and we didn't want to do them for God, or we didn't want them to bring glory to God, will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I ask you something tonight? Can you visit the sick? Can you distribute a Bible tract? Can you sing in the choir? Can you work in the nursery? Can you help keep the church building clean? Can you work as an usher? Can you drive a bus or a bus route? Can you, hey, listen, all those things, teaching a Sunday school class, serving God, inviting someone to church, out of a willing, ready heart, the Bible says, will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, fire doesn't measure size, it measures quality. You know, by the way, if tonight, if you could have a semi-truck load full of wood, hay, and stubble, you don't have a whole lot. In fact, it won't last and it's not worth a lot. But tonight, you could have a pocket full of diamonds or a pocket full of gold or a pocket full of silver tonight, and it would have great value. Look here, I remember when I first got saved and God put a desire in my heart to serve Him. You know what I thought? I thought I had to do something great and something big for God. And almost a lot of that was nothing but ambition. It was nothing but wanting to be seen of man and making a name for myself. When I had to understand something, listen, serving God is serving God even when no one else is looking. It's serving God out of a willing heart. It is being used of God in whatever area God asks you to do. The attitude of the heart. But secondly, God is going to judge our works with the attitude of our heart. But secondly, by authority. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you a question. Did you have authority from God to do what you did? Are you serving God according to the Word of God? Are you following God's divine rule book in all that you are doing? Look, I know people that they think, hey, this is what I want to do to serve God. But wait a minute, some of those things God never commissioned them to do, God never asked them to do, and they do not have the authority from God. Do you know what the Bible tells us? In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, God tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And guess what He said? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can I tell you what that is? That's authority. Listen, there is, every time I go to a door and I knock on the door, can I tell you something? I am there by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. He sent me. You know, I tell you, that gives great power and that gives great liberty. Because why? I'm there by authority. I'm a preacher of the gospel tonight, not of my own mind, not of what I came up with, but by authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something? What has God given you to do? What has God given you authority to do in your life? Listen, those are the things that will be judged. Listen, does my ministry, does what I'm doing have the authority of God upon it? I know preachers who think it's their authority to criticize every other preacher out there. Can I tell you something? That's going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, I believe that's sin in the eyes of God. But they think that's their ministry before God. Maybe you think your ministry is to straighten out everybody else in church. Can I tell you something? God didn't give you that authority. Listen, what is the authority that God has placed upon your life? Listen, the calling of God upon you. When we have that authority from God, listen, that is what will be judged and rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The third and last thing is ability. Ability. You know something? God will require more from some people that He does than others, because God has given them ability. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 12, and I want to show you something very important. Luke chapter number 12. Now remember, we are all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every child of God. Luke chapter 12, and then in just a moment, we're going to go to Luke chapter number 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, and let's look in verse number 48, if you would please. Notice what the Word of God says here. Look, God has a way of instructing us. God has instructed us by giving us abilities. Now, let me say this to you before we read this verse. Sometimes you may think, well, I wish I had so-and-so's ability because I could have a lot of reward. That's wrong thinking. Do you know that God does not judge you based on other people's ability? God judges you based on the ability that He has given to you. Every man and woman has opportunity and ability by God. No two people's opportunity and ability are the same. I've had opportunities that you have never had. You've had opportunities I have never had. You have abilities that I do not have, and I have abilities that you do not have. You see, we're all different, and guess what? We're uniquely created by God. God has given us a purpose in life. But I'm not going to be judged because of some other greater preacher. Listen, sometimes I hear a preacher preach and I think to myself, I don't even know how to preach when I hear them preach, you know, because they're such a great preacher. I think, God, Lord, why did you call me to be a preacher? Because if I want to really be a preacher, I want to preach just like that. But God didn't call me to preach like that person. God gave me the ability that He gave for me in the place that He placed me. And I'm going to be judged by God by the personal ability that He gave to me. And so are you. Listen, God's not going to judge you because you're not a preacher, all right? Especially if you're a lady, all right? I can promise you that for sure, all right? You know, we had little Harlan, and Brother Crunkleton's here, I think, somewhere. There he is. And, of course, the family got baptized last Sunday. Great day. And they're growing in the Lord. And Harlan had his Bible. I think it was on a Wednesday night a couple nights ago. And I told him he had a new Bible. His mom and dad bought for him. And I said, Hardy, you need to try to get preachers to sign your Bible. And I showed him my Bible. And he said, and then he started thinking. And he said, you're a preacher. Sign my Bible. I said, I'll sign your Bible, buddy. All right. And he said, Well, is Brother Stevenson a preacher? I said, yep, he's a preacher. Go get him to sign your Bible. Then he came back to me and he said, is your wife a preacher? And I said, only at home, buddy, all right? So, you know, and he was laughing, and Josh understood what I was talking about. But can I say this to you? God is not going to judge you because you're not a preacher if He didn't gift you with that ability. Now, let me say this to you, and I want you to listen to me very closely. If God gave you an ability, a specific ability to do something specific in His work, and you are not using that ability, may I say to you, you are losing rewards. You're losing rewards. You, in fact, I believe you are sinning against God-given ability. And God-given gifts. What has God gifted you with? Listen, if you don't use the gift that God has given to you, you will lose reward. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 48. The Bible says this, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Can I say this to you? God has a way of measuring and judging your life by what He has given to you. Look here, I grew up in a Christian home. How many here did not grow up in a Christian home? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Lots of you. I got to go to a great church. I got to go to a Christian school. Can I tell you something? I have a lot of light. I've had a lot of opportunity. I have a lot been given to me by God. God has said, son, I'm going to put you in a Christian home. Son, I'm going to let you go to a Christian college and a Christian high school. I'm going to put you in that. Listen, I would sin against a holy God and this opportunity that He has given to me. And one day when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, God's given me a lot of light. But brethren, has God given you great opportunity? Let me tell you this. You are a part of a great church. Did you know that?
Amen.
Not because of anything of me. It's because of what God has done in this church. Listen, this church has been a great church from its inception. I mean, it's just a great church. And people are being saved and lives are being transformed. It's a lighthouse. Why? Because it's His church. But you have been given great light. There are people that would give anything to have a church just like this church. But you have this privilege. You see, brethren, God has gifted us with great abilities and great opportunities that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I say this to you? God doesn't ask you to do what He has given someone else to do. Well, I'm glad about that. You know, sometimes I'll be honest with you. I read biographies about D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and Charles Spurgeon. And I read those and I think, Lord, I'm nothing compared to those guys. And Lord, I've accomplished nothing. But God does, I will not stand before God. And God is not going to say to me one day, well, son, D.L. Moody did this and you did this, buddy. You're in trouble, you know. God's not going to say that to me one day. God's not going to say, well, son, this is what your father did and this is what you did. No, no, no. Every man's work, your work will be tried, not according to someone else's standard or what they have done or what God gave them to do, but what God gave you to do. Now go to Luke chapter number 16, if you would please. Luke chapter number 16. I want to show this to you. We come to verse number 14 and verse number 15. Luke 16 and verses 14 and 15. Now take note in this. The Bible says, Luke 16, verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. May I say this to you tonight? Folks, just because you are doing or living your life according to your standard doesn't mean it's good enough. You see, so many people justify themselves. And by the way, do you know that we all do this to a certain degree? We all justify ourselves. We justify our sin. We justify our actions. We justify what we're doing. We sometimes think, well, it's not as bad as my neighbor. Or it's not as bad as my coworker. We justify our sin. But some people justify themselves and think, well, you know, to me, I'm a really good Christian. Brethren, the greatest Christian in here doesn't think he or she is a good Christian. Because they see themselves in light of a holy God. You see, tonight, don't justify yourself. Let God justify you. And tonight, am I doing what is right in the sight of the Lord? Am I doing what is right according to His standard? You see, God gifts us. By the way, when we think about our ability, I want you to know something tonight. That God has told us that we are co-laborers with Him. You must see this. Let's go back in the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to show this to you in closing. By the way, every one of us has a unique ability, a unique shape by God. Now, I am told, I have never examined it for myself, but I am told that every snowflake looks totally different. Honestly, I don't like any of them, all right? Okay? But is it not just like our God that every little snowflake is totally different from the other? There are no two people the same. Why? Because God's not going to judge you according to your family, according to the pastor, according to what others have done before you, God will judge you and me, every man according to his own work. Every man. By the way, I'd like to use the word shape, S-H-A-P-E, and put it to you this way. Maybe you have a pen, you'd like to write this down. Every one of us has a unique shape. The letter S, we have spiritual gifts. Do you know that every one of you has spiritual gifts? I don't know what your gift may be. I do know this, a gift is something that you enjoy doing. It's something you enjoy doing. I remember I didn't want to preach, but then I got a desire to preach. I believe God gave me that gift. It's a gift. I didn't come up with it. He gave it to me. The letter S, we have spiritual gifts. Everyone has H, heart motive. All of us have a motive of our heart, and it's unique to you. The letter A, you have ability that God has given to you. The letter P, you have personality. Now, how many, some personalities you don't like? Would you raise your hand, hold it high? Sure. But guess what? God gave that person that personality. Now, don't use your sin as, oh, that's just my personality, you know? I'm just really mean to people, you know? No, that's not personality. But you have a personality. You know something? I believe this with all my heart. God gave me a certain personality to work with people, to be a pastor. I believe God gave my wife a certain personality to work with people. God has given you a personality to do exactly what He has given you to do. He's done that. I'm going to tell you this. If God did not give me the personality to be a teacher in a classroom. Can I tell you why? Because the kids would learn nothing. All right? I just want you to know that right now. And I just don't have that personality. And by the way, if I had to stay in a classroom for 8 hours a day, I would lose my mind, I believe, you know? I just would lose my mind. But that's the personality that God's given me. But what about you? All right? And the letter E, experiences of life. You know that God has given all of you a background of experiences in life that He has shaped you to do something specific for the Lord and His work. And that is what you will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to show you something that I think is so important. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God." I want you to think about this. Brethren, tonight, I know how I think. When I think about the work that I'm going to be judged by God, I think, okay, I got to start doing this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and this, and this. And that's a part of who I am. But may I say to you, that can get us in a lot of trouble. Because it is not what I can do. It is what I allow Jesus to do in me and through me. The Bible says that we are laborers together with God. You know something tonight? It is not, okay, God, I've got this great ideal and this is what I'm going to do. We are laborers together with God. It's the same ideal that the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Tonight, here is the key. You may think, well, okay, Pastor, I got to do this and do this. No. Stop. Tonight, get in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Learn Him. Be intimate with Him. Know Him. Walk with Him. And can I tell you something? Then out of that fellowship with God comes everything that you need to do for the Lord and His glory. We are laborers together with God. God did not save me and indwell me to leave me alone. God saved me and indwelt me. Christ is in me. Now I yield to Him and abide in Him. And that is only the way that I can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, He said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Do you know something tonight? In a sense, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot lay up treasure in heaven. Without the Lord, without entering into the yoke with Jesus Christ, you can do nothing for God of eternal value. Look here, all that I can do in my own strength is wood, hay, and stubble. I can do that. I can do it. And it'll be burn up. But I cannot do gold, silver, and precious stones unless I am laboring together with God. That is this. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I yield this day to you. Lord, would you guide my footsteps? Would you direct my heart? Lord, and by the way, if you are walking with Jesus and Christ is in you and he is indwelling you and filling you, can I tell you what? You will seek after lost souls because that's who Christ is. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And brother, may I say this to you. If Christ is in you and you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are surrendered, your attitude is right of surrender to God. And then you have that authority. This is what God has given me to do. Then he enables you to do the very thing that God has given you to do. Brethren, tonight we are laborers together with God. Listen, you're not working alone. You're co-laboring with Jesus Christ. You're in the yoke with him. And can I tell you this? It's kind of like when my kids were just real little. I remember one time we had to plant a tree. We had to dig a big hole. You know how much my boys dug that day? About a bucket full, you know? Guess what? Daddy did most of the digging. They weren't able to. But you know something? That's fine. Because guess what? We did it together. And you know something? Without Jesus Christ, I can only produce wood, hay, and stubble to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. But as I yield to him, he enables us to do what we could never do in our own strength. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is co-laboring with Jesus. Brethren, tonight, what we need to do is yield to him and say, Lord, show me what to do. Lord, direct my path. Lead me, because God, I want to have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.